Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Episcopal Herald podcast. The Episcopal Herald is an online magazine that imagines, articulates, and analyzes the future of the Episcopal Church. I am Jimmy Abbott, one of the contributors for the Herald, and I'm sitting down with the Reverend Mark Crawford from the Episcopal Diocese of Texas. Mark, you are a clergy deputy for the Diocese of Texas, and this is your third General Convention,
I believe. That's correct. The first one was in Anaheim in 2009, and I attended a convention in Indianapolis, and then now here in Salt Lake City.
So just give us a little bit of description of a General Convention from where you sit and how it's structured.
Well, one of the most important structures, as many people know, is that we're a bicameral system. That means we have two houses. There's a House of Bishops, and all bishops who serve within the Episcopal Church in active ministry, either as diocesan suffragans or assistants, have seat and voice. Retired bishops also attend. Many of the retired bishops don't attend the whole length of time, but they do come in for significant votes. And then the House of Deputies is comprised of both clergy and lay deputies. And that term deputy is very specific as opposed to a delegate, because we do represent a deputation. Our votes are done many times by deputation, and there has to be a majority of both clergy and lay orders, for instance, when we take a vote by orders.
Mm-hmm. So it's then a little bit different than, say, diocesan council.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is in that a diocesan council has a representation of all the clergy who are active in parish or institutional ministries, as well as the ones that are elected as lay delegates. And diocesan council has delegates, not deputies. So there is that distinction.
Right. And that seems to be one of the big conversations at this General Convention is the size and the structure of all this. Because, you know, just from what's it like sitting there on the floor? Because it's a pretty big floor.
Yes, it is. And it can be intimidating to get up to the microphone and speak before the entire House. There are many deputies who have served 14 or 15 consecutive General Conventions. And, of course, they get up to the microphone and they know the legislative process in and out. There are a significant number of deputies at each General Convention, new deputies, and then eventually they serve on legislative committees.
One of the things people always ask about happening at General Convention is, and I hear parishioners say this, will General Convention do something that I don't like? And to me the answer is always yes. You know, no matter where you are on a sort of theological or political spectrum, something will be done that you probably don't agree with.
Well, that's a given, I think, for any political process. A good example is what happened in 2003. Because of the constitutions and canons in the Episcopal Church, if a bishop is elected in a diocese within a certain period before General Convention, then the vote for approval is not done by standing committees and bishops throughout the Episcopal Church. It's done at General Convention. And so that was one of the aspects of Gene Robinson's election and confirmation that was so controversial, because it was done at General Convention when there was a lot more national publicity and a lot more politics within the House of Deputies. And some people have even speculated the vote might have been very different had it been done through the standing committees throughout the Episcopal Church.
Right. No, and it seems 2003 was a big one. Looking back historically, the Diocese of Texas always remembers the 1955 General Convention. Because as I understand the story, it was supposed to be held in Houston, but the black deputies were not allowed to stay in the same hotels, and so the Episcopal Church moved it to Hawaii.
Yes, because of segregation.
Right.
But I think it's also significant that later Bishop John Hines, who eventually became the presiding bishop, did have the General Convention in Houston.
Right.
And that was a very significant move to include blacks and other minorities as representatives or as deputies in General Convention.
And what an interesting dynamic now that our presiding bishop-elect is black. And
yes.
I mean, what a sort of transformation then that has taken place since 1955 in 60 years.
Exactly. And another thing we were reminded of, because this is the 230th anniversary of General Convention, that one of the vice presidents of the House resigned when the bishops did not approve the ordination of the so-called Philadelphia 11 women who were ordained for the first time, that he resigned his position as vice president. And that was very significant. He was later reinstated, and he did visit our convention and tell us that story.
Oh, wow. So now as we are here in 2015, where do you see General Convention going in the future? How do you see the structure even of General Convention, say, 6, 9, 12 years from now? Do you see any significant changes?
Well, there are a number of resolutions that are being debated right now about the structure of the church. One of the most significant ones is to move from a bicameral structure to a unicameral, which means we would have one house, that the bishops and the deputies would sit in one house and in joint sessions. For the past three General Convention, my experience has been in this convention that we have spent more time with the bishops in joint session than in any other that I've attended. So that may be a matter of evolution rather than actually resolution that will change the structure. And the president of the House of Deputies, Gay Jennings, reminded us that there have been other structural changes in General Convention going back to 1919 and the evolving role of the presiding bishop and other changes as well. It just takes the Episcopal Church longer to make changes than many other institutions.
Right. And you are not serving on any committees this time around.
No, I have served on legislative committees in the past. And also, I was on the Board of Examining Chaplains, which is a creation of the House of Bishops. And so, going back to 1997, which was the first General Convention I attended, I did serve on the board for 12 years.
Wonderful. Well, Mark, do you have anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, one of the other significant things we could recall in the past is when the Episcopal Church divided during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the deputations and the bishops did not attend General Convention during the Civil War, the northern bishops made it a point to pray for the southern diocese.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after the Civil War, the Episcopal Church reunited, unlike other denominations, major denominations in the United States. So I think that is very significant, that where the United States was actually divided in the Civil War and did bring great division to our church as well, that there was a period of reconciliation and our church was reunited.
It's such an incredible story of that reconciliation and how, say, the Presbyterian Church and the Baptist Church, in some senses, are still divided from the Civil War.
Right.
And one thing that has always struck me was the pastoral letter that the northern bishops sent the southern bishops 2 weeks after the Battle of Antietam. And what an incredible sign of unity. And now I look at what we're dealing with, and it seems to kind of put things in perspective.
It does, and I think there has always been that aspect of Anglicanism and the three-point virtue that we have, that in all things tolerance and charity, in non-essential that we do have tolerance, and in non-essential, we are able to accept one another's differences.
Fabulous. Well, Mark, thank you for sitting down with us, and thank you for all of our listeners for joining us. You can follow the Episcopal Herald online at episcopalherald.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Episcopal Herald. Send us an email, episcopalherald@gmail.com. Thanks to Chase Carl for doing our music, and stay in touch.